Welcome to the very first episode of the Future Ancients podcast. My name is Luca Lesson, and I am a full-time poet, rapper, artist, sometimes hooligan, part-time educator, and it is my absolute pleasure to bring to you this new creative process. The idea of the Future Ancients podcast is that I have incredible conversations with great human beings, and I take a little nucleus of inspiration from those conversations, and I use it to create a new poem, rap verse, spoken word piece, and I post it at the end of each of these conversations. This process has been in the back of my mind for a while now, and it's a real pleasure to bring it to you, and it's brought to you by my patrons who have joined me on Patreon over the past month or so since all the shit hit the fan with COVID-19. And it has been an incredible process for me to connect with them. Basically, through their patronage, this podcast is able to occur. Patreon is an interesting platform. It links people who are interested in supporting artists directly with the artists that they love. And I am lucky enough to have patrons that are supporting my work now. And so I am able to put things out in the world on a more regular basis based on their monthly contributions to my Patreon page. If you would like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/LucaLesson. This is the Future Ancients podcast. I would also like to send a shout out to the good people at Think Inc. who are supporting me in the background with all the technology space stuff around a podcast and putting it all together for me. We have been able to stay connected since I first performed at their event with Dr. Cornell West in Sydney many years ago. And since then, we've stayed connected, and it's good to reconnect with them now on this project. So, although this is episode one, I would like to inform you that it's actually episode minus one. It's actually the prequel. The idea of this podcast is to talk to great people, be influenced by those conversations, and then turn that influence and inspiration into a new poem or rap piece. And this week, though, we do not have a guest. This is me introducing you to the process, but there is a poem at the end of this week's episode, so be sure to stay tuned in for that. This episode is about connecting with this concept of the future ancients. What is a future ancient? What are we here for? What does that term mean? And really, for me, even though it is derived from a name of a poem that I wrote called The Future Ancients, which in turn informed the name of my first collection of poetry, my first book that I self-published, I think in November 2013, which is also named The Future Ancients. This concept has become something of a life way, of a forever vibe for me. This idea that, yes, we can be modern, we can be connected with the modern world with all of its great gifts and technologies and things that make our lives easier, but it is also just as important, if not more important, to connect with ancient ways, to old ways, to old people's wisdom, to eternal truths of the planet, of love, of connection, of oral traditions and speaking poetry, of all of these great things that seem to outlast all of us and that will be here possibly long after we are all gone. And so this connection with something both ancient and modern is something that I've seemed to be able to lead me through the dark paths, lead me through the difficult times in my life. And through that gaining of knowledge from both the modern and the ancient, I've found some kind of middle path, maybe something that Leonardo da Vinci would call the universal man, something where we can pull from different places, different skill sets, different ideas, and create a life for ourselves that is balanced, that isn't both too many things that we might own, or too many ideas that we try and pursue, or too many confusing contradictions, or too many things that distract us from our true path, but also not too little, you know, not so much that we become too zen, where we can't enjoy the fruits that are abounding around us, the fruits that come from the seeds that we plant in our lives, from the art that we create, from the literal seeds that we plant in the ground, which I've been doing a lot of lately since I've been trapped at home. And so this idea of the future ancients, I believe, resides in everybody. Every guest that I'm going to talk to in this process of pursuing this podcast and creative process has some wisdom that has come through to them from the past, whether it's from their own families, from people that are still alive today, or people that have come a long time before them in their own lineage, their own cultures, or something that's just come through to them from a history book, from an ancient poet, from an old piece of poetry or song or philosophy or art, idea, something that has come through that is worn and weathered, but that has stood the test of time, something of a relic that we still hold on to, that is still important in our lives, and many times we keep them close, even if it is just a sentence or a line or some piece of advice that was given to us. How does that help us pursue a greater life, a greater truth into the future? Of course, my own background being as more of a political style poet, many of my guests will talk about these types of ideals in the context of their own struggles, of their own ideas, of their own oppressions, of their own opportunity to pursue a greater good for humanity and society at large. But I'll also be talking to comedians, to musicians, to rappers, to singers, to poets, of course, and anybody who I've crossed paths with in my life that I am able to connect with and draw inspiration from. Somewhere in the midst of our conversations between our two voices, there will be a moment or a word or an idea or an opportunity to expand and create a bigger conversation, create a piece of art off the back of these conversations. So I'm super stoked for this process. I'm super excited to bring it to you. And since this episode is about the idea of the future ancients, then at the end of this episode, I'm going to include the original poem that I wrote back in 2013, The Future Ancients, which became, little did it know, the title for the book of the same name and now the title of this great podcast. It is also the title of a wider idea of a production company that I've built over the past couple of years through blood, sweat, and tears and many mistakes that holds everything that I myself and my wife create. So those of you who know about the project that I've been working on called Odysseus, it is the reinterpretation of the ancient Greek story of the Odyssey in hip hop and spoken word with a choir and an orchestra that has been composed by a man named James Humberstone from the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. Many of you may have come to the first showing that we did in Sydney at the Sydney Con in 2016, and there we were able to give a first look at what it is that we're working on. Even though it felt like a premiere to many people, actually it was just a first step, and we decided to go much further with that process from there on out to apply for more funding and turn it into something of an ancient Greek version of Hamilton, if those of you know of that musical work, that musical theatre work. It is much less musical theatre-ish. I hope, no offense to Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it's not of that ilk. It is something that's slightly more maybe serious in tone. And although it has been an incredible journey for me to try and make this thing work, and shout out to my whole team that has been working on this with me from the get-go, some incredible artists, musicians, composers, obviously, but also filmmakers, producers. Some of them will end up being on this podcast to talk to you as well. It has been a very powerful learning curve for me to create that piece of work. So that comes under the umbrella of the Future Ancients as well, as does a new work that I've been working on in the meantime, waiting for Odysseus to slowly get chipped away on by all the different parts of the creative team. I've also been working on a show called Agape and Other Kinds of Love, based on the seven different types of love found in ancient Greek language. I was inspired to hear about these different types of love, to learn about these different types of love, to learn how to see these different types of love in action in my life and in the world around me, and create a spoken word, a cappella rap and poetry theater piece that's about an hour long that was scheduled to premiere this year, but I'm pretty sure is going to be on the back burner until we know what the world looks like and whether I can start touring or put it out in the world in a new way at some point in the future. The different types of love are things like storge, which is a type of love based on care. So the love of a carer, someone who is looking after you that you might die without. If you've been in an accident or you're a very old person or a very young baby, you cannot live without that love. That love keeps you alive. That kind of a love is like a familial love that happens within a family. And then the type of love like philia, the love and companionship that comes with a great friendship, and the power and depth of a good friendship. Philoxenia, the love of the other, the love of the stranger, something very powerful in ancient Greek culture, as well as philaftia, which is self-love, something that is talked about a lot in the world today, and many other different types of love, including erotas, of course, an erotic type of love. So this show and all of the stuff that surrounds it, possibly a book that would come at the end of finishing that script, is also coming under the banner of the Future Ancients, as well as all of my education work and being able to travel around the planet, travel around Australia, have a poem on the curriculum in Australia at the moment for the next couple of years. All of these things, in the end, it's kind of fateful, it's kind of destiny that everything has come under this idea of the Future Ancients since I first wrote that poem and published that book back in 2013. And so now here we are. This is the world that I'm in. I'm falling in love so much with writing historical stuff, bringing it into the future, giving it a new twist, giving it new life, breathing a new breath into it all, and looking at both the beautiful parts of ancient Greek culture, but also the difficult parts of even Australian culture, Australian history. I was able to do a work with another great composer, Gordon Hamilton from Brisbane, with the help of the Queensland Symphony Orchestra. I was commissioned to write a poem, and I decided to write something about the life and trials and troubles of a man named Governor Lachlan Macquarie. Some people hold him up as a hero, but of course many people see him as a villain because of his hand in the very first government-sanctioned massacre of First Nations people, of Dharawal people, outside of Sydney, called the Appin Massacre, which happened in April 16, 1816. And I was able to write a 20-minute concerto about his life, contextualizing why he may have made some of those decisions, where he came from. He joined the army at 14 years old, saw death from a very young age, was most likely very desensitized to violence, and took that violence out on First Nations people as it was combined with his own sense of racism, pretty much, of hierarchy of different human beings and cultures. And it talks about displacement. It talks about how that is also parallel today, that really that invasion and that moment where he initiated the first ever government-sanctioned massacre of First Nations people, that really hasn't ended to any extent, really, that police brutality still goes on today, and it is just an extension of that same moment as it became more and more normalized in Australian culture. And so that was also a piece that I was able to write over the past few years, and that also falls under the banner of this Future Ancient idea, that we can draw parallels and learn from our past and try and make a better future, a more equal future. As Dr. Cornel West says, never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. And I think that's a pretty pertinent quote for this particular podcast. And so I would like to thank you all for tuning into this very first episode, or episode minus one, before we get into having incredible guests on board where we can listen to their stories, listen to their ideas, listen to their gems of inspiration and history that I can then connect with and write new things around and for. I'll leave you with this though. This is the poem that kicked it all off. It is called The Future Ancients, and I'm sending much love and connection and respect to all my people out there for tuning in. This has been the Future Ancients podcast. In the future, the history books will study us. Our cities will have been renamed. Our languages slanged into something new, and this moment will one day be ancient. The future ancients dig theoretical trenches between settlement and invasion. Shoot rifles at each other across the plains, but place prayers within the screaming bullets. They shroud their heads in mourning, and afterwards line their soldiers up in cemeteries like voodoo dolls for God. The future ancients will be encased behind glass in museums. Greek ragtag squadrons with backpacks and shards of Athenian columns for weapons will be installed in exhibitions of either terrorists or freedom fighters, depending on who it is that wins. This time that will stand side by side with wax dummies of good men in shirts and ties who never leave their suburban blocks but are called to duty through computer screens, shooting unmanned cannons in faraway places and are called things like husband, son, sweetheart, and lieutenant. The future ancients will have their artifacts locked in storage. Shards of Molotov cocktails from the Egyptian Revolution will be tagged and filed next to Michael Jackson albums, smartphones, Playboy magazines, and hopefully the Australian flag. The future ancients will be found by future archaeologists preserved and embalmed in tequila and Chanel No. 5 alongside pop star prophets who thought they were somehow saying something new this time. They will find them praying to gods who believed in science on a planet of do's and don'ts, of factions and fractions, of us's and them's and we's and whatever's and maybe never's and never again's. The future ancients will be found in tombs of cheap liquor, in databases of tradition, on screens called culture. As relics of broken signals, they will hardly be visited as bones, but remembered in the symbology of pixel and paranoia. The future ancients will be remembered or lost depending on what we decide. Since democracy has been paraphrased, sustainability called primitive, refugees criminalized by the first invaders, and indigenous cultures lined up side by suicide in prisons like voodoo dolls for the future, the textbooks will study us. Our cities will have been renamed, our languages slanged into something new, and our stories will be the only link left between objects and their meanings. They will try to twist and turn our histories based on what they find of us, so our voices are the only artifacts worth keeping alive. Whose lips will we honor? Whose tomb will we lay our tears? Those that risked everything to speak but spoke anyway, those that gave meaning in the darkness, those who not only spoke but gifted us a moment of silence in this madness so that we could hear ourselves. Those thoughts are your artifacts, your jewelry, jade and bronze, and your words are our monuments. Stone and bone, Parthenon and Colosseum, everything worth leaving behind. In silence is how we surrender. Speech is the architecture of fate. So are we pharaohs of fallacies, empresses of nothing? What will they engrave below our statues? in the ancient future.